Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, welcome to the podcast. It's The Slab with Chelsea and Jim. Episode 11 or episode 10?
It's one of those, but you just ran in there. No mention of the Ghost Museum whatsoever.
Oh yeah, we need to... we've not discussed this, have we?
We haven't discussed
off air.
Jim. Well, no. I've been thinking about it a lot. I've made no further developments, but I've thought about it.
I've also done a lot of thinking about it, and I still really like it, you know. In fact, I was talking to a friend about it, and my friend got excited, which makes me think we should definitely pursue the Ghost Museum. But
me
is
too.
Today the day? I've not written today's podcast. I've not made notes for today's podcast in the style of the Ghost Museum, though.
Mine's 50-50, but obviously because mine was the genesis of it, I had to do it for that podcast, so it wasn't intentional. Although I did say on a lens the other day, it would be cute if we got like a lot of our patrons involved in the same way that Kate's our resident veterinarian.
Yeah, ex-resident. So we can have like a resident janitor.
I said that. I said Mind Overdrive should be our janitor.
Yeah, we can have somebody. We can have a curator. Well, no, I guess we're the curators, aren't we? We can have assistant curators, though.
No.
Can I have a personal assistant?
You can have a personal assistant if you want to.
But who's the personal assistant for me in the Ghost Museum, but also in my life?
No, because I'm going to be your PA as soon as you get successful. So
There's no payment involved, though.
Oh, okay, yeah, they can do it.
It's purely to be on the podcast. We'll figure that out. I think that's nice. So if anyone's got any jobs that they'd like to do in the Ghost Museum, maybe pitch them to us now.
Ooh, well, I was going to say one episode could be us interviewing, but maybe they could send us applications and then we can go through the email applications and that's like a fun off episode that we do for Patreons. If they want to.
I love that.
Obviously, they have to be qualified. We're not just going to hire a janitor that isn't Mind Overdrive.
Well, this is the thing. You need some sort of special skill.
Yeah.
Like, we need the right people for the job. We're not just going to staff this Ghost Museum with anybody.
I'm not going to let you run the owlery if you haven't read Harry Potter, for example.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's called an owlery.
Yeah, like a nunnery for owls. It is an owlery.
Okay. Isn't it an aviary?
No, that's for normal birds.
Well, the owl is a type of bird.
No, it's an
aviary. You get all sorts
of
birds in an aviary.
Not owls.
Did I ever tell you about my horrible experience in an aviary that's given me my fear of birds?
You have, but I think it would be great for the podcast to also hear it.
Well, okay, I'll do it quickly then, because you've already heard it. I was about 7 years old. I was on holiday in Tenerife, and we went to a zoo, and the zoo had an aviary in it, and it was set up like a big tunnel that you walk through, and you could get really up close and personal with the birds. Oh, great, what a lovely experience. And as you go in, they gave you the option to have a little tub of bird feed, and it was like this, I don't know what it was, maybe some sort of nectar. It was a liquid. And the birds fucking loved it. And the idea is they come and land on your hand and have a little sip of the nectar and it's beautiful. I walked through, bird landed on my hand. I shat myself and, not literally, figuratively, and spilled the liquid all over my torso. So birds started swooping in and pecking at my chest like a scene from Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. It was horrible. And I've had a problem with birds ever since.
Well, you have, Jim. You fully committed to that, didn't you? Because you're gay.
I know, I got it.
I know you got it, but I didn't know if listeners, because some people don't know, right?
Also, outside of, I think, the UK, they don't call birds isn't slang for women.
Well, no, but we're very British. That's one of our branding components.
Yeah.
British we are.
But good to be clear for our international listeners.
Birds is women.
And I don't like them. To have sex with.
Oh, yeah. Love them
to
in general.
To be friends with. Loads of them. Rather be friends with a woman than a man.
Opposite for me, if anyone's listening.
Good.
Great.
Well, that's cleared that up.
Welcome to the Enfield Podcast.
Shall I get into it?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get into it. If you've not heard the first part of the Enfield Poltergeist, can we put a link somewhere for that? If not, you can just go and find it. It's called the Enfield Poltergeist. It's like two podcasts back. So let's recap this strange tale so far. It's August 1977. Britain is midway through a cool and dull summer. A new smaller £1 note is introduced into circulation, presumably to just make people's hands feel a bit bigger. But other than that, little else newsworthy has occurred. That is, aside from the Enfield haunting, which, where we pick up this story, is very much underway. So just to recap, Peggy is a single mum with daughters Janet and Margaret. Their house has supposedly been the site of some very strange activity. We're talking furniture being moved around. Janet's been barking and is seemingly possessed by a bloke called Dirty Dick. So far, this so-called spirit has been witnessed by 17 people, including paranormal investigator Maurice Gross, a slightly creepy neighbour called Vic Nottingham, a couple of police officers, and a photographer from the Daily Mail. The story is a national phenomenon and tabloid smash being discussed in every brown and mustard living room across the UK. I don't know why in my head all 1970s living rooms are brown and mustard, but that's just there for some reason. Oh, and orange, yeah, they did love a bit of orange. Maybe like a pea green as well, like a mushy pea green.
As long as it was fucking revolting, they loved it.
Yeah. Like, you know how sort of pastel colours are quite in now?
Yeah.
In the 70s, it was gross, dull, just mucky-looking colours. That's how you'd describe it. Just everything looked a bit mucky.
I think they had, like, brights, though, too. Like, I'm basing this purely on, one, A Clockwork Orange, and two, the video game We Happy Few. So they'll have, like, very geometrical shapes in weird, bright colours, right?
Yeah.
There's a purple, probably.
Nothing, no colours that should go together.
Oh no, that's their favourite.
So basically, weird shit is happening. And Maurice Gross, the main investigator, he helpfully put together a list of things that he'd observed over the course of the few months that he was there trying to figure out what was going on. So here's some of them. He saw a teapot shake vigorously on a cabinet with the absence of any external vibration. Which is quite a nice sight, isn't it? It's a bit Beauty and the Beast.
I want to go one episode without mentioning Beauty and the Beast. This won't be it. This won't be it.
Tell me that at the start.
Sorry, Jim. I'll send you some rules next time.
The shade of a bedside lamp tilted and then straightened. Cardboard boxes and cushions thrown by an unknown force. There's like 30 things on this list. A bedroom carpet was pulled up at the edge to form an identical shape each time, an effect which Gross was unable to replicate. I don't know what he means by that. A bedroom carpet was pulled up at the edge to form an identical shape each time. Is that like carpet origami?
But does he just mean that he kept lifting it up the same way?
Yeah.
Well, like,
that's the only thing I can think.
Why would you add that, though? You just leave it up, kept being pulled up.
But the fact that Gross says that he was unable to replicate it makes me think that maybe something fancy was happening. Maybe it was being folded into a swan or one of those things that you put your fingers in to tell someone's fortune. Remember those at school?
Oh, yeah. They are fortune tellers.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
And you fold out the thing. You pick a colour, pick a number, fold it out.
Yeah, you fancy George.
You can say Jimmy Charles.
I just thought that was really uninventive that the only name that I could think of was your name.
Look, don't try and suppress the truth.
I wrote a book and I could only think of one man's name because it was the one I was looking at.
Anyway, there's loads of shit on there. Small fires started and extinguished themselves without causing damage. So the final thing I'll read out from the list of weird stuff that's happened... Excrement appeared in inappropriate places.
That's gross. That's Morris, that is. That's Morris Gross.
So somebody's going around doing little poos in the corner of rooms. I'd love to have a bit more detail here. I'd love to know what the inappropriate places are, because it would literally be anywhere that isn't a toilet, surely.
Yeah, or maybe like a compost heap if you want to cut out a middleman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I wouldn't describe that as inappropriate. I'd say it's weird, but not inappropriate.
We were having a discussion on the Discord yesterday or last night about people defecating in public. So somebody was talking about having poop in strange places, and somebody else just come up and said someone's shat in the aisles where I work.
What?
Yeah.
Where? In a supermarket?
They had an aisle shitter. Yeah.
Ugh. No, when I worked in the co-op, I had a little... I was really annoyed once. This little boy was in the shop, and he wet himself in the middle of the supermarket. That's fine. I'm not annoyed by that. It happens to the best of us.
I've had a wee in a weird place before. I peed in a wardrobe.
Have you?
Yeah.
When?
I don't know. When
recently?
I was like 25.
Were you really...
So, yeah, very recently.
Yeah. Were you high?
No, I was just... I needed a wee. And I get very uncomfortable. I was living with other people. And I didn't really like them very much. It was a time when... I am not always great socially. Like, I'm very, like, weirdly confident, but not if I need a wee. So, yeah, I needed a wee. It was... Oh, I had one of my bladder problems at the time.
Yeah.
I think someone was actually in the shower, maybe. So, I was like, fuck it. I'll just go in this wardrobe. Because if a wardrobe is like a toilet without a toilet, in many ways...
Well... In the sense that it's a very small room. Was it a wardrobe as in a piece of furniture, or was it a walk-in, built-in wardrobe thing?
It was a piece of furniture, I believe. Okay. It's hard for me to really recall, because it was white.
Did you have a vessel?
Yeah, well, I've told this story before, but the vessel was poorly chosen by me. It was the plastic container that grapes come in, which I thought very large. A punnet.
Yeah.
Get out.
That's what it's called. The little plastic tray thing.
Yeah, all right, sure.
Yeah, a punnet.
I had a punnet. And I peed in the punnet. And it's large, right? You think, I could do a lot of wee.
Yeah, and that's going to hold a couple of pints.
Yeah, and it would. If it weren't for the fucking holes all in the bottom of it to, like, let you wash your grapes easily.
It had drainage holes in it. You've always got to check.
Always check for drainage holes when peeing in a wardrobe.
In a vessel. Well, I'd say just in any vessel, whether you're in a wardrobe or anywhere else, check for holes.
Yeah. Well, not in the toilet. Holes in toilets, great. If anything, if you've got a toilet without a hole in it, is it a toilet? One, don't pee in it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just, it becomes a bowl, doesn't it? It's the same with carrier bags. There's nothing, I've got, actually, I'm not, I was just about to tell us, whatever.
You can pee in some carrier bags.
But this is the thing, only some have holes in them.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're quite difficult to spot.
I mean, the best... I've done a lot of vomits in carrier bags.
Yeah.
That's what... I mean, less peeing, more vomiting. And sometimes I'll vomit in the bag. And it's obviously I'm laying on my bed. I've got the bag there. I'm vomiting in the bag. All's fine and dandy. The vomit's a bit thicker, so it takes a while to, like, find its way out.
Oh.
But 20 minutes later, I've got a wet bed. But, oh, not again. It's got a hole in. It's got a bloody hole in.
You need a bucket for that, Charles. That's what you
Other
need.
Times I've done a vomit in a bag and it's been absolutely fine. Not nice
gonna,
to hold.
I'm going to buy you a bucket.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm
going to buy you a bucket for your birthday.
Jim, I haven't got room for a bucket, let's be honest.
You don't. Also, your toilet is, what, probably 2.5 metres away from your bed?
Let's not worry about distance right now.
If you really... You could probably... lie on the bed and with a strong enough wee get it into the toilet. It's that close.
Even if I am gonna move to do a vomit, I never do it in the toilet. Any toilet anywhere. I just don't like the idea of vomiting somewhere that is a toilet. That's disgusting. So yeah. I always do it in my little sink if I'm gonna have a vomit, and then I just push all the little lumps down because it's got one of those.
It's because you're a classy girl.
It's got. Instead of having like a nice little round drain with like the round holes in, which are great for vomit lumps, often very similar. Oh. Like one of those little kids' games of putting the square in the square hole, triangle and you can do that with vomit and drains. But my sink has got one of those like lift up little flaps on it. You know, like you pull it up and it goes down to lock or like whatever. Yeah. So instead it's just got a very thin lip that I have to like push all of the vomit at once under sort of like smoke coming out of a closed door, but the opposite. You can't get smoke back in a closed door.
That's a metaphor for life.
Like aging, isn't it?
Yeah.
Smoke out of a closed door is aging.
Once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't get it back in. Actually, you can. Back to Enfield.
Yeah.
All this weird stuff's happening. It's been witnessed by 17 people. Easy to dismiss as a hoax, though, especially as it's children involved. it's easy to think, oh, they're just being idiots, they're just being annoying, they just want the attention. However, this was witnessed by people outside of the family, and people who wouldn't seem to have any sort of vested interest in sustaining the lie. So a lollipop lady was walking down the road, and she was she used to store her lollipop actually in the front garden.
I prefer the ice cream lady. Sorry, go on.
So she was going to collect her lollipop, which she stored in the front garden of the house. And she just looked up, just having a little look around. Why not? It's free country. You can look where you want. And she saw through Janet's bedroom window, Janet being thrown up into the air, up and down, like she's levitating.
Well, she got a trampoline in her bedroom?
No trampoline in the bedroom. And she said she could see her feet. So it was obvious that she wasn't jumping. She wasn't just jumping up and down on the bed.
If I jump, you can still see my feet.
Yeah, but
my feet come with the rest of my body, Janet. Why is she storing her lollipop in their garden?
Because she's got nowhere else to keep it.
I don't like an erroneous lollipop in my garden.
I know you don't. Same, Charles.
Does she not have a garden?
I think she just, because it was near to where the crossing was, she just thought, for efficiency's purpose, I'm going to leave the lollipop next to the crossing.
And Janet just happened to be flopping about.
The lollipop's concerning you, I can tell, Charles. She used to store it at number 284 and concealed it in a hedge in front of the house.
As long as she's keeping it safe and concealed, then.
She's keeping it safe.
Well, I just want to point out at this point that I live in Enfield, home of the famous Enfield haunting, and just basing it on anecdotal evidence, my window, the bottom of my window, is actually quite low. It's about knee height, one might say. So if I did jump, and you were outside, and I did a big jump, you could probably see my feet. Especially if I was on the bed to begin with.
I'm going to read the quote, Charles. I was standing there looking at the house. This is Hazel Shaw, is the name of the lollipop lady. Or as they put it here in this article, road crossing council employee. I was standing there looking at the house when all of a sudden a couple of books came flying across and hit the window. It was so sudden, I heard the noise because it was quiet. There was no traffic and it made me jump. Then, after a little while, I saw Janet. I don't know if there's a bed underneath that window, but she was going up and down bodily as though someone was just tossing her up and down bodily. What does that mean?
I think
a horizontal position.
Yeah, long ways.
Like as if someone had got hold of her legs and back and was throwing her up and down. I definitely saw her come up about window height, but I thought if she was bouncing, she'd bounce from her feet. She wouldn't be able to get enough power to bounce off her back to come up that high. My friend could see her as well. We could both see her. That's a direct quote from Road Crossing Council employee Hazel.
She even said it herself. I don't know if there was a bed under that window. I'll tell you what, if it's a bedroom, the chances are quite high. I've got a bed right under my window, Hazel. And I could jump on that bad boy right now and show you my feet.
You can't bounce up off your back, though, can you?
You don't know.
Do Jim. A flat bounce. That's not possible. It's no. maybe possible you... on a trampoline.
And maybe, imagine, like, the worm. But on your back, not your front.
I am imagining the worm, Chels. I could imagine the worm regularly. It's one of my favourite things to imagine. But you can't get up off the ground in a worm.
What? That's what it does. It moves you like a
no,
worm,
No, you're not fully
Mike.
Off...
It's not even
yeah,
like
but
a
you're
worm.
Never
Why
fully off the
worm?
Ground. There's always some body contact with the ground.
Only real worms, not the popular dance move, the worm.
I've just thought, Chels. I think the worm might be our generation's floss.
Our generation's what?
Floss.
What's the floss? Oh, the floss.
Yeah.
No, the worm is before our generation. Our generation's fucking dabbing, isn't it? No, that might be the next generation.
That's not our generation, Chels.
Maybe, I think ours is Soldier Boy, the Soldier Boy move. Is the Soldier Boy move the dab? Soldier Boy.
It's a variation. I'd put it in the dab genre.
Yeah. Well, I think ours is
a variation
Soldier
of
Boy.
A dab. I don't know.
The worm was around in the bloody 80s, Jim.
No, like when we were little kids. Like I remember being at primary school and there were certain kids who could do the worm and I could never do it. And I'm still annoyed about it now.
Who's doing the worm in primary school and not the hokey
loads
pokey?
Loads of people. The cool kids were doing the worm.
Well, I wasn't cool.
All us losers would wish we could do it. It was the worm and people could also do that thing that, I don't know what it's called or if it has a name, where you like roll your stomach and it does sort of a worm action on your stomach. Do you remember that? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah. There's that one, and then there's the I'm going to hold my arms together and like twist them round and then come out again. A lot of children are double jointed.
Yeah, that's a good one. Or, I mean, I like the classic, put one arm up your sleeve and grab it with the other hand and do the old
chest.
Yeah, the fist through the chest thing, pump it.
I haven't done that for bloody years, but I'll tell you what, it's about to come out again. Well, the new one is that little Ellen dance, isn't it, of that boy that does his arms.
Is that a floss?
No, is it a floss? It's like the floss, but without the middle.
I could have a go at that.
Yeah, you can have a go at whatever you want, Jim. I'll never hold you back.
So Groves continued his search to figure out what was going on with all of this strange activity. Here's another little snippet of some of their great chat that they had.
Can you tell me why you are upsetting this family? Is it because you enjoy doing it? You do enjoy doing it. Well, I suggest that now you've got... What does that mean? Why have we done three knocks? Now, I ask you the question again. Two knocks for yes and one knock for no. Now, yes, that's right, you understand.
It's basically a lot of him getting quite frustrated by the person doing the knocks not doing the knocks properly. I love that bit where he's like, "We've done three knocks there. What's that all about? It's either one knock for no or two knocks for yes. We'll try again." But people started to suspect, obviously, that this whole thing may be a hoax. Many suspected that it was just the kids being annoying, and they. You know, to be fair to them, they do seem like fairly strange children. And it's quite easy to see how the levitating photos, which ended up in the Daily Mail, could have easily been faked with the old jump on the bed, I'll take a photo of you while you're in midair thing. Because they did have video recorders at that time. You'd think if levitating was going on, forget the stills camera, let's get that on video.
Yeah, no, exactly. If I was like if I wanted to make up some sort of paranormal activity, I'd be like, yeah, no, there's a ghost that stands over my bed every night and he watches me. Like, can you take a photo? Can you record it? No, but I can give you an artist's rendering.
Yeah, I'm going to get a courthouse artist in.
Yeah. You're welcome. Proof's in the pudding, friends.
One of the things that the investigators did a whole load of tests into was the voice. So we played a little bit of this in the last podcast, Janet's weird little husky voice that she does. I'll play you a little snippet again now. So this is Janet, I think, possessed in this little clip by Dirty Dick. Oh, it's like my finger gets it to the point and then I take my finger off and it jumps.
I know, I've been there 1,000 times.
Don't you ever get a sore throat, Jenny?
No.
Sure?
Yeah.
You never get pain in the back of the neck or something?
No. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I'm sorry, I'm not with you. But I feel...
Oh, you with me now? With
you? That's just a little snippet of her doing the voice.
Is this the fucking EastEnders audition? Oh, what the fuck are you all coming on? I can't do it.
It sounded Chinese.
Yeah, that's the only accent. Like, hold on. Getting apples and pear. I can't do anything with my voice.
That just camp.
I can't do it. I'm going to go to
EastEnders is like this. Doing? No, come in here. But... That's EastEnders.
Did you just replay the clip or were you doing that yourself?
So then I didn't really play the right bit there, but I can't be bothered to find it.
No, that didn't sound much like a demon voice.
She was being asked there about whether she gets a sore throat ever when she does it. Because she's better doing that thing. Oh, it's actually really hard to do.
Hold on.
I'm going to possess you.
Oh, that's quite good, actually.
It's better than my Cockney.
That is loads better than your Cockney. So I don't think I can do it. How do you do...
Talk from the back.
Oh, really hurts my throat.
You sound a lot like Smeagol.
Yeah, it's not quite the same, is it? Anyway, they tested her by taping her mouth shut. They also put water in her mouth. And it seemed like she could still do the voice.
I've got some water right here. Wait, hold on. Live
you
action.
Give it a go. Go on. Because it's not actually using your main vocal cords. It's called the full... Have you just spat water all over your expensive computer?
You didn't tell me the instructions. It's not using your main vocal cords. It's not using my backup vocal cords. What am I using?
It is. So it's called the false vocal cord effect. So you're not actually using your actual vocal cords. You're using like the muscle underneath it.
I don't know.
You don't normally use for speaking. That's true. I've read that on the internet. The internet doesn't lie, does it?
I can't feel anything else in there. I can't find another bit of my vote. Is that why I can't sing?
Maybe. That could be it. You've just not discovered... Imagine that.
What, singing?
If you just suddenly discovered that you had an amazing voice, you'd just not been using the right vocal cords.
I believe that about myself, though. I'm like, if I went to a singing lesson and she was like, Chills, turn your tongue this way instead, and then suddenly I'm like, oh shit, I'm Adele. I genuinely believe that. I just don't know how to talk properly. I use the too high bit.
But I think it's from being from the Midlands as well. There's no great singers from the Midlands.
Where's Adele from?
Adele's from London. Adele speaks like this. She speaks like EastEnders. She speaks like Janet.
And look, Lily Allen, she's good at singing too. She's from London.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. I think you might be right.
I think I'm onto something, aren't I?
I don't remember anyone at school that was like really good at singing. Better than me.
No, I don't. Yeah, there were people who were better than me, but they weren't good from like an outsider's perspective.
No. And I
nobody was like Brit school good.
No one in my family can sing either, and I blame that on my, like, I was never taught how to do something like that.
Yeah, but can you be taught? Do you just have to have it?
I think you can be, and I just told you, you can be. I'm just going to be, they're going to be like, Charles, just like lower your tongue in your mouth, and I'm going to be like, oh, now I sound wonderful. I'm really mellifluous when I speak.
Maybe that's what it is.
I'm going to go to a lesson. I'll find out. That can be an ongoing project for the Ghost Museum. Oh, we could get a singing tutor in the Ghost Museum.
Or yeah.
Like what's an accent teacher called?
I like that. We've got like a community arts offshoot from the museum already.
Yeah. So guys, if you want to be our vocal coach, please send your application and why you should be considered to the role to jimandchels@gmail.com.
I really want to learn ceramics, so if there are any ceramics teachers out there who'd also like to be part of the community arts offshoot from the Ghost Museum, also get in touch.
I want to do Cantonese.
I'm happy to provide the clay.
Well, you could have like a ghost moment. It's on brand. It's like from the movie Ghost.
I'd love that.
I'll have to just go on.
So Gross, going back to Gross, he was so convinced of the paranormal origin of the effect, Janet's voice, that he offered £500, later £1,000, to anybody, to any child who could replicate the voice under the terms he specified. Nobody took up his offer, though, which
what
makes me
terms?
Think that some of the these terms must have been outrageous, because surely anyone would have a go at that. You've just proved that you can do the voice. It's not
as long as you have my dick in your mouth while you're doing it. £100 to anyone that can do it. Promise.
I didn't realise how many investigators got involved with this. Actual scientists, a physicist called John Hasted, found that Janet's body increased in weight when she was strapped to a Blundell couch. I don't know what a Blundell couch is. So he reported a 5 second weight increase of about 1 kilogram and a minute gradual weight increase, which eventually turns to normal whenever she was possessed by the spirit.
Spirits don't weigh anything.
They're saying here they weigh about 1 kilogram.
No, all right, so my dad's decided that he's got cancer, right? He fucking hasn't. He hasn't got cancer. He's got extreme mental diseases that give him anxiety, and now he's making himself sick because of his anxiety about having cancer, right? So mum's fucking had enough of it, and she's got no sympathy for him. And so he's been to the doctor like 30 times, and he went to the doctor again yesterday, and the doctor was like, he's like, I've got a headache, I've got, you know, I'm being sick, I've got this, I've got that. And the doctor just said to him, none of those things are related to cancer, though. So why do you think it's cancer? It's your anxiety.
Yeah.
And like, this is the same thing. He's going, oh, she's put on weight, she must be possessed. No! Possession doesn't make you fatter.
No, but she's putting it on in a fire. It's only a 5 second thing. It only happens for 5 seconds.
That's not one of the things. That's not a component of being possessed. It's not a haunting thing. Oh, and by the way, you also put on a few pounds.
but only for 5 seconds though, so like it's going in and out of her.
Doesn't make it more relevant.
Well, I mean, I think that's quite interesting, but also, I mean, you're right. It could be anything, and presumably, if it's just 5 seconds, that could just be an anomaly with the machine.
Also, I'm not saying it's not weird. Obviously, it's odd, but it's just not ghosts.
And clearly, if it was worthy of being investigated more, it would have been investigated more.
Yeah, but it's just silly. Like, I think there's a mouse that lives under my bed. Oh, and there's some damp in the corner. So there must be. No, that's a separate thing. There's damp and there's a mouse.
Oh, I thought you said mouth. like a big
that's a new
monster's
thing
mouth
now.
That's dribbling.
Now I'm worried that there's just a mouth under my bed.
That'd explain the damp.
How?
It's a big mouth spit. Anyway, after a couple of years with no new developments and the same routine being repeated with presumably fuck all furniture left in one piece in that house, interest in 284 Green Street waned. Reporters stopped visiting and asking to take photos and write pieces. Paranormal investigators moved on to other phenomena, and the children grew up. However, throughout their lives, neither them nor their mum Peggy denied the legitimacy of the haunting or ever changed their story. Gross continued to defend the girls in the case until his death in the 90s. Maybe they started to believe their own lies. Maybe they were in too deep. Or maybe it was haunted. I don't believe that. I just thought it'd be a cool way to sort of end that sentence.
It was, Jim. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
I won't let them.
I think that I've fallen into the trap of telling a lie enough times that I don't know that it's not true anymore.
Mm. Definitely. I definitely have.
I can't think of a good example right now, but I know it, and I'll go to myself, wait, did that happen or didn't it?
Well, I've got a very relevant example. When I was a kid, I lied about seeing a ghost. I said that I was staying at my uncle's house. He used to own a pub in this place near Bristol, and it was a really old Victorian pub. I mean, a prime place to be haunted, if ever there were any. It looks like something straight from a Stephen King novel, and it was creepy. And I used to say that I'd seen a ghost across the bar late at night when it was all closed up, because sometimes my uncle would let me come down, and you know, it was quite cool being in the empty pub. I said that I'd seen a ghost at the other end of the bar, and he threw a drink down the bar. And I told that lie for years and years, and I've got such a vivid image of it in my head. I did start to believe it.
I think, like, I can't remember like what specific lies I've told repeatedly, but they've, like, to me now, like, I don't know, I can't, I mean, if I was telling it one day, I'll go, oh, that's one of my lies. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I've told it so many times, it is part of my narrative now. And who cares? It was, like, about something 15 years ago, probably. So I'm it is kind of true, because the past didn't really happen.
Exactly, and memories are just bits of brain anyway, aren't they?
All memories are false.
There's this thing, every time you remember something, the memory is slightly altered.
Yeah.
So it changes slightly over time, which I think is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, memory is incredible anyway, so why not just start with a lie?
Exactly. start with the lie and then just embellish it over the years. But I think it is amazing how they stuck to this story. Even the mum, who obviously was an adult throughout this, here's a little clip of them being interviewed a few years later, when I think this is Margaret, when she had grown up.
What do you say about that?
I say that's a matter of opinion. If you haven't experienced it, you're going to say that. But it did really happen.
It upsets me deep down to think that they can't give us an open mind, the ones that just put it down completely. But all I can say to them is I wish they can experience the same thing as what we went through. They certainly wouldn't say it was false or fake or it was child playing or anything of that kind.
There you go. That was her mum at the start of that clip, by the way, the old woman.
I mean, I believe her.
I think she does seem very sincere in there. And actually in the clip, she seems a bit upset by it. And she seems upset that she's been called a liar for most of her life.
I mean, that could be just be indignance, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But either way, it's interesting how much of a grip it's obviously taken on them and how that is this thing, which I think we can agree has been totally fabricated by the children and is them playing pranks. And it's probably been, they've probably been egged on by this paranormal investigator, Maurice Gross, who wanted his moment in the spotlight. But it's still interesting how this thing has completely come to define their life, even though it's just kids messing about and that got out of hand.
I think like the like complete opposite of that would be interesting too. Like if it happened today and it was real, no one would believe it anyway.
Yeah.
So you could actually have a proper fucking experience and have all this shit go down and people would be like, no, they're faking it. And yeah, there would be no way to convince anyone otherwise.
Yeah. But
so
I mean, that's...
maybe it did happen.
Maybe it did. I don't think it did.
I still need to pull... I might go... Oh, I've got a house viewing later, but if I have time beforehand, I might... Or after, I might go around and get some shots of the old Enfield Poltergeist house.
Yeah.
Patreons. Well,
it's funny you should bring it up, actually, Chels. After Peggy Hodgson died, she was the mother, the house was occupied by... So, actually, just before I get onto this, all of the ghost activities and certainly all of the attention around it by 1979 had fizzled out totally. But Peggy Hodgson stayed living in the house, and she said that she always felt a presence, but that the spirit or whatever was at peace with her, so it didn't cause any trouble. After Peggy died, the house was briefly occupied by a mother of four called Claire Bennett, who said, "I didn't see anything, but I felt uncomfortable. There was definitely some kind of presence in the house. I always felt like someone was looking at me." Her sons would wake in the night hearing people talking downstairs. And then, this is before she knew the history of the house. Claire then found out about the house's past and said suddenly it all made sense. And the family moved out after just 2 months.
Interesting.
Yeah. So maybe go down there, Chels, see if you get a vibe.
I'll see if I can see Terrence flopping about in the window.
Yeah. Yeah. See little elf Janet.
Yeah, Janet, that's her. Yeah. Terrence was never going to be the little girl's name, but it feels like you could have...
You're getting better at thinking of names, though, Chels, on the spot.
Thanks, Jim. And it's only been 30 minutes. Imagine where I'll be at next episode. But I can imagine, like, Terrence and Janet would be friends.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a very 70s name, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, Enid Blyton's story, I'm sure, has a Terrence and a Janet in it somewhere.
Terrence took Janet down to the wood.
Uh-oh. Bad Terrence.
Terrence is on a list. So there we are. I think that's sort of the end of it, really.
Wow.
There's no solid conclusions. I think most people are agreed that it's a hoax. But just interesting how they stuck to that story throughout their lives. Janet did an interview on This Morning, which is quite interesting, a few years ago. I'll put some links to that.
Wow. What a roller coaster we've been on in both parts of this story.
And it's gone on to, also, if you've seen the film The Conjuring 2, which I haven't, that's based on this.
Who is it? I don't know if I've seen The Conjuring 2. I've seen the first one. Not bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, The Conjuring 2. And also...
I mean, there's a TV series, right?
There's a TV series as well. Anyway, it's very much lodged in our collective cultural consciousness.
Yes,
as a thing,
the UK's Amityville.
Yeah.
That was a weak ending, I feel, that we just...
I feel like we need a stronger ending for that.
We'll do an email. Oh, okay. You do one quickly.
So there we go. That is the strange tale of the Enfield Poltergeist. Hoax or not, it's very much lodged in our collective consciousness and has inspired multiple films and TV shows, and no doubt will continue to set imaginations alight for years to come.
Wow.
That was rubbish, wasn't it? It's fine. We'll move on to emails.
Yeah,
it's difficult to end a podcast when you've done two episodes on it. It's always going to feel like it's fizzled out a little bit, especially as there's zero conclusion to that. But that's perfect, because in many ways, the Enfield Poltergeist itself, that story fizzled out into nothing.
Well, it's true. It's life imitating art, or exactly. Art imitating life, which is a more obvious way around to do it. We've got got a new Patreon, Matt Gerard. Thanks for joining us on the old Patreon. I hope you come along to the Discord.
Yes.
So I had a little message from Georgie Izzy saying, hi guys, did you get my email? And I said, yes, we definitely did get your email. And we read it. It was the one about someone moving to King's Lynn. But we were keeping it for an episode to read online, to read on the podcast. So let's do that now, shall
we? Yeah, let's do that now.
Hello, smiley face. Sorry to bother you, Chelsea and Jim. Don't start an email out with an apology about bothering when all we've done for no 8 episodes is said, please email us. Thank you. Sorry for pestering you to email us. Recently moved to King's Lynn from North Norfolk. Had no idea that you grew up here until listening to your Haunted Doll episode, Chelsea. Completely understand that Norfolk maybe isn't an especially exciting place and that maybe you don't want to talk about it again, but just in case you ever fancied revisiting any of its stories, I was wondering if you'd heard of the Black Shook, or, my favourite, the Toad Men. People who made deals with the devil using toad's bones to gain psychic control over horses around the fens. There are lots of supposedly haunted places too. A house in Tombland of Norwich is apparently home to a young girl, the Lady in Grey. Oh, I know about that one. Who was accidentally sealed in a plague-ridden house and turned to cannibalising her dead family to avoid starvation, only to choke upon a bit of plague victim and die.
What the fuck?
Thetford is allegedly full of apparitions as well, especially ghostly monks around the priory and victim of Hansen's disease. And Thetford Warren Lodge is meant to be haunted by a faceless man and a hexed rabbit with flaming eyes.
I love that.
Although Georgie Izzy expects it could just be albinism in the rabbit. If ever you wanted to talk about mysterious murders as well, there was a decapitated body found near Swaffham in the 70s, possibly belonging to a sex worker from Denmark, but nobody seems to know her name. She was referred to only as the Duchess, and this is only a theory. She went missing the same year as the headless body was found. Whether or not it belonged to her is uncertain. Sorry. Wanted to apologise and say thank you as well. Being a silent supporter for a long time, the audience was on YouTube always frightened me a little, so never left a comment. Reached out and my financial situation won't allow me to become a Patreon supporter just yet. But love when we were... Aww. Thank you for saying that you liked my book. And your videos were the only thing I could focus on that cheered me up. Oh, when you were isolated and while in high school. Georgie Izzy. You reached out to us on Patreon saying that you couldn't afford to support fully. But I think I made you an honorary member anyway. So hopefully you feel a little bit more part of this community now and that you're feeling better in general. And we really, really appreciate your email. I can also relate to that. I've watched so many YouTubers just, not because I felt like isolated perhaps, but people that I felt more of a connection with than people in my real life, shall we say.
That's the beauty of YouTube, isn't it? I think that's the beauty of podcasts as well, actually. Mm-hmm. I listen to podcasts now in the same way that I used to watch YouTube videos. That's my way of feeling like you're sort of, you got that human, just when you want a bit of chatter. There's no other way of putting it, really. It's nice. Yeah. You do feel close to those people.
And it's like a lazy friendship where you don't have to be your best.
Zero input, which is perfect.
Yeah.
But that was a really lovely email. Thank you so much for that. And also, so much content in there. I feel like each of those things you mentioned could be a podcast in itself.
Yeah, fucking hell. I think we should get Georgie Izzy in as the museum's researcher assistant. Yes. Well, is a research assistant the real thing, right, in university?
Research assistant is a real thing.
Georgie Izzy, if you're listening to the podcast, send us an email with your application. You don't have to, like, you're our favourite, but obviously you might not want the role. So, but if you want to reply, there's a wink and a nudge.
There is also a role going for a King's Lynn correspondent, so you could be a good fit for that as well. So we'll consider you for both.
Norfolk, because I feel like we can't do town correspondence. We're never going to have enough listeners.
Maybe we will one day, Chels. Right, we won't move that attitude.
If you would like to be either of those things, drop us an email. Or if anyone else is listening who thinks that they've got, they could compete with Georgie, let's get a few correspondents and a few researchers. You can't do too much research.
Oh, and if you want to say, I mean, we're happy to receive a written application, but if you want to just film a little thing or do a little voice note, send us that, because that would be brilliant if you want to do a little tape. not an audition, but just an audio CV.
Oh, absolutely. Send us whatever you want. We love stuff coming in that we can then use on the poddy and engender the bloody community.
Absolutely. It's jimandchels@gmail.com, by the way, our email address. That is jimandchels@gmail.com. And if you do want to check out our Patreon, that's patreon.com/chelsandjim.
And we're going to do a special episode soon, I think, just so we can get through all the emails properly and give them a decent amount of time, which is just emails. And we'll just do that for patrons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we'll continue to pepper them into the apps as well. Don't worry
we'll
about
sprinkle.
That.
We'll spice up the episodes with a bit of email flavouring.
But I'm liking that we're hiring employees of the Ghost Museum. This is good.
Me too. I recently bought I bought Procreate, which is an art app for the iPad. I'm going to use that and another app to start drawing out the Ghost Museum and like the logos and all of that stuff for that. Because at the moment, the slab is off-brand now.
The slab is off-brand. Are we gonna rename this podcast The Ghost Museum?
Yeah. We just That's need to do happen. It properly. We need to have like a big rebrand as opposed to just like a bit in a bob.
Yeah, I like that.
Do it all at once.
Well, I reckon we should end this episode, Chels. We've been talking for bloody ages.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.